our FabDam director, Charlie Bolton.
All had a good time. Nanny had some good things to say, and that's exciting. I want to tell you, give you a bit of my story first, so we start there. But everyone starts somewhere. What's bad about life, when we watch somebody, be it a soccer player or an athletic or a rugby or someone in whatever, we see them when they are stars. And we look at them and say, wow, you know. But we lose sight of where they came from. That athlete was training when it was raining while you were sleeping. They were doing things. They were watching their diet. And that's how they got there. So we've got to think of ourselves. Doesn't matter where you are right now. You're also going to be on a journey. You've heard it all weekend. Mentally, physically, spiritually, you understand? And you're either growing or you're dying. There's no question about it. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. You're either getting more positive or less positive. And that's important to understand it. You're either getting financially stronger or financially weaker. It's all in our hands. So we need to accept that. Arthur and I looked at this business on the 22nd of August, 1973. Arthur was 25 years old and I was 31 years old. And at that time, we had three children. The youngest one is exactly a year old. And after that, we had another one a couple of years later. So we know how to have babies in the business as well, and not use them as an excuse, but use them as a reason to do something. And then we worked up, we built up, our business wasn't fast, it was slow, but eventually we built up that we were actually half of GNLD's business in South Africa. And then the company employed me as a national sales director. I became a vice president. So in other words, I was no longer a distributor and Alter was no longer active in the business. That's not really what we wanted. So I worked, and in 1986, I left the company and became a distributor again like each and every one of you, right? And at that time, we were actually, I'll never forget it, October 1987, we were Sapphire Directors, okay? And McQuenna was a five diamond, McDermott was a five diamond. You understand? And we never let other people, I never marked on them. What I said, all we got to do is better our best every day. You see, I can't control somebody else, but I can control me. And that's what I encourage you to do. Better your best. Don't worry about who's ahead of you, who's not ahead. Not important. What you can do is work on yourself. And I told you that is right. I'm not well educated. I failed three times in high school and only passed one. Isn't that exciting? And that was a good thing. You know why? With the education I had, I couldn't get a good job. I wasn't well paid, which was good. If you've got a degree, I admire you. But I'm dyslexic. They didn't have a word those days for it. I remember one of my reports, the school teacher wrote, I'm more interested in the donkey carts and horses going past in the road than my schoolwork. You see, when a horse went past in the road, my mind was not in class. I'm going to be riding out in the field that afternoon. You understand? And that's how I was, okay? Even today, I'm still the same. If anything gets complicated, I switch off. And I keep it simple, right? I don't get complicated at all. There are a lot of things that a lot of you people know a lot better than what I know, right? I've never yet switched on a line. I've switched on a computer once in my life. That was in the early 90s. And I phoned the guy who installed it for us, and over the phone I couldn't switch the damn thing off. And since that day, I've never switched on a computer again. Alter handles that side, you understand? I don't. I say right away, it's like a scary thing for me, okay? I can use my iPhone, I can send you a WhatsApp, it takes me age to send you a message, you understand? So don't even send me a message, I might not reply. If you send me a message, I will phone you, just send me your phone number, okay? Yeah, that's far quicker than trying to type your stupid things in with my one finger. Anyhow, so we went back in the field and we started building a business. It wasn't easy. You know, I'd worked for the company, I had a big income when I was working for them. Now suddenly I'm a distributor and I'm earning peanuts. Yet we've still got expenses. 1987, we were virtually bankrupt, sold, virtually sold up, right? And I want to tell you a true story. I don't mind what your religion is, what you think, what you believe, and I don't want to impose my religion on you. Like some people, you walk into some towns, they have these loudspeakers blaring, people imposing their look on me. I don't want to impose anything on you, you understand? But I want to tell you what happened to me. I went to a weekend function like this. We were struggling here. Alton and I were just not getting it right. We weren't building it. We were working hard. And 1987, in June, I met some American people through Saddle Horses years ago, and I phoned them. I said, find me somebody there in the Yellow Pages that does this kind of business. I wanted to learn more about it, trying to get the thing rolling. So they organized that. I flew to Winston-Salem. That's in North Carolina, in June of 1987. And I went to a function like this. There were 2,000 people, I'll never forget it. A guy met me at the airport at Raleigh, right? Now, first let me tell you how I flew there. I didn't have money. I had a credit card. And those days, the credit cards weren't computerized. So I could buy a ticket from Port Elizabeth to London. And then from London, I bought a ticket to Raleigh. From there, I bought a ticket back to London. And from London, I bought a ticket back to Port Elizabeth. And by the time the account came, the bank was very negative with me. So I spent four times what the computer what it could do, right? But anyhow, I went to this function. A guy met me. I didn't know him. They took me to the function in a Hyatt Regency Hotel, in a five-star hotel. And they said, come in. I said, well, I can't stay here. I've got no money. But anyhow, I said, no, don't put your stuff down, come to the room. And we put it in the room and we were off to the function like Friday night. And those people can talk and they carry on. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, we get back to the room. And there are eight other guys in the room. And they all pals and talking. And I said, Lord, if only they'd go, I want to sleep now. And a little while later, you know, these rooms were two double beds in. You see two mattresses go on the floor. Two guys on the springs, two guys on the mattresses, two guys on the springs, two guys on the mattresses, and I don't sleep with no guys, so I took a bedspread and I slept on the floor. And the next morning I woke up late because I was tired, obviously, and by the time I got to the bathroom, the towels were like wet face cloths. But that's my experience, and we learned that day, that Saturday, and the Sunday morning, praise and worship. And that Sunday morning, I don't know what happened. That an altar call, Holy Spirit took me forward. And I gave my life to the Lord that morning. And I said, Lord, it's your business. You show me what to do, and I'll do it for you. So don't give me any praise. I don't do the business for me. I do it for my Savior. He blesses me. We just give. And you can never outgive God, believe me. The more you give, the more you get. It's frightening. Now, later on you say, whoa, it's too much. No way. You keep giving, he'll keep giving. Exciting. So I wanted to share that with you so you understand. So I respect whatever your belief is. I'm just telling you what happened to me. Right? So I've got to tell you the truth. One, you've heard all weekend, you've got to be positive. Folks, I want to give you some good advice. Think before you talk. You know, once it's out of your mouth, it's too late. You can think anything you like. But once it gets out, you see, God knows what's in your mind. But Satan does not know what's in your mind. Once you talk it, Satan knows it.
Yes.
And then he'll jump on you, right? So if you're feeling sick or whatever, don't say I'm feeling sick. I said, thank you, Lord, for what's happening to me right now. I know good's going to come out of it, and you move on.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
You see, you give praise in everything, not just the good things, in the things you don't perceive as good. Okay, so work on your attitude. All the time, right? You know, if you're married, I want to give you some good advice. Alton and I have been married for many years now, I suppose 48, 40, I'm not sure. We never have a birthday or celebrate Alton and I. Every day is our birthday. Okay? We've got, our lives are so full, it's crazy. But anyhow, and I learned one lesson in life. It takes you many years to learn. Do not have a discussion at home. It takes two parties to have a discussion. She has learned to shut up. I shut up and pray. The next day I say, thank God I did shut up. Because what I would have said would have been stupid anyhow. Have you heard, seen them, the ladies, they have you still, fits, is quiet meditation. That's my advice for being positive. Another thing is feed your mind. Read all the time. Read, even if just 2 or 3 pages a day, read until you understand it. Put it in. Listen to CDs and DVDs, right? You can get a lot of stuff from the Eagle Team and feed your mind, okay? There's so many good tapes out there and good stuff. Now, as you get on in the business, I know some of you might have been in the business a little while already. Keep your mind young in the business. See, my mind is young in the business. Age is not important. Today, Alta is 67 years young. No, 65. No, 66 years young. Somewhere around then, I'm 73 years young. Okay? And this morning, I ran from here into town, past the police station. I came back again. You see, I do that all the time. Right? You need to look after yourself. You cannot be positive if your body's falling down. And folks, I want to tell you something. If you take a Pro Vitality and this protein every day, there's no way your mind will come down. See, what that protein does, it keeps your mind at 70, your blood sugar level. So your blood sugar doesn't go up or down. You see, when people's blood sugar is not stable, they either become aggressive, it's too high, and if it's low, they become morbid and depressed. Right? And that and NutriShake keeps the blood sugar at 70. I've had that twice today already. Sometimes when I'm traveling, I have it 3 times a day, and I have the bars as well if I can't find other food. And I'll have fruit. So be young in your mind. Another way is talk to people. You've heard Nettie say, I talk to people all the time. Wherever they're positive. I don't talk to negative people. If I meet somebody and start talking now, a lot of times I talk to people, I might not take a conversation further. But sometimes if I see they got a need, maybe a nutritional need or financial need, while I'm talking to them, I might say, hey, give me your phone number. I might have something exciting to share with you and I'll call you sometime. Maybe we can get together. I don't tell them anything else. Or if I think I've found out about them, I've found out they've got dreams or whatever, then I want to test them. I say, look, there's my number. If you'd like to know more, you can just text me and I'll contact you. And I've actually got a guy here now. I'll tell you it now. Let me see if I can pick it up quickly. Welcome. Oh, here it is. Sipo. Hi, Charlie. Just wondering if you sent the info. Sipo is his name, down in Robertson. So all I did with him, I gave him my number. I said, if you're serious and you want to do something, you text me. So he texts me, and then I asked him for his address. Now, somehow it didn't come through, and I've got Jeanette to phone him. The stuff's on its way to him now, right? So next time I go down that way, I'll tell him I get him started on a telephone, whatever. But when I get him started, you see, what I do, I check. My time is valuable. Your time is valuable. I don't go around signing people up because I'm excited. Do you understand? I'm getting people in my business that are going to take my time. My time is very valuable. So I've got to check out, do they really want to do something? What are their dreams? I say to him, if you like what I show you, why would you want to do it? You see? That's before they show them anything. So they might want education for their children. They might want this. They might want that. Some people just want health. Whatever it is. You understand? Write that down. Now you know that's a reason for that person. You cannot get somebody started in your business and you don't know why they want to do it. You understand? Because if I know why they want to do it, I'll eventually get to the stage where I show them a business, right? And I'll say, you know, to achieve that, you're going to have to put in X amount of hours. We need to do this. We need to do that. Are you prepared to do that? Because if not, I'm not even prepared to get you started. I'll help you use some of the products and that's it. Or I might make you a wholesale customer. You see that? I think what we got to understand, yeah, I'll ask you all a question. Zambia's got a soccer team, I know. I know you don't play rugby, right? But you've got a soccer team. Do they play rugby here? Yeah? Okay, but you're not way up. But anyhow, I know you're good at soccer. Now, if you inherit a soccer club in Zambia, you inherit it with all the money, but you haven't got one player yet. Do you just run around the street and grab anybody?
No.
You're going to be very selective, would you agree? You are building a team as well in this business. So you want to find people who want to. You want to find people who are worthy of your help. You see, I say to people, you can steal my money, but man, don't steal my time. I can't get more time. I can make more money. You understand that?
Yes.
Your time, folks, is a valuable thing. The time we spent here this weekend, you'll never see again, okay? So always make sure when you're interviewing people that you're firm with them. And I tell them quite straight. I say, look, I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste my time, okay? And they respect you for that. I flew to Holland the other day. Well, in Germany, Holland, and Italy, I helped them a bit there. But I went to help a new person in my downline. The directors in PE, I went to help this new guy start. Now, he's not doing too much in Holland, but I know he lived here in South Africa for a time. So I've got a list of names of his people. And I've got an appointment to show a couple who've got, they got a body business in Port Elizabeth on the 26th of this month when I come back from Uganda. I've got a meeting to show them the business. You understand? So now I'm going to get that guy's business anchored here in Port Elizabeth where I can work with it. The same you would think in Zambia. If you're in Lusaka, anchor your business in other places too, right? And work with those people. When I make an appointment with somebody, I always give them an alternative. Let's say, I don't know if you're at coffee shops here or whatever, but if you're going to meet them in a coffee shop or cafe or whatever, I say, look, we need to get together for about 20 minutes. I want to show you something very exciting. And if they say yes, they'd like to get together, they're serious, I said, right now, I've got two options. Next week, Monday or Tuesday, which day would suit you best? Don't say any day. They must see you busy, right? Even if you've got every other day open. They say, well, Monday. I said, right now, what about 4 o'clock or 5:30? Which time would suit you best? Look in your diary, you see? And when you make a time, you say, now look, is this definite? Because I'm looking for people who have character,
yes.
People with integrity. Don't send me a text message at the last minute to say you can't get there. Tell me now. You see, or else the weak thing for people, they just text you a message, I can't make it, or I had a funeral. You heard that statement before? In Africa, they go to funerals and they don't even know who died. Isn't that exciting? I'll tell you what I do with funerals. My dad's cousin died last week, or buried last Thursday. And his other cousin lives in an area about 50 k's from me. So I'm not going to a funeral. So I sent him an envelope for that crowd, the one who died. And I put 500 in and I said, we're thinking of you, right? God bless the Bolton family. I was sent it to them. You see, they're more excited about the 500 than you coming there. You're just going to eat their food. Am I right? Now, it's different if it's a close relative. You know, like a brother or a sister or a mother. Or, that's a different story. You understand? But some people go to a funeral, that's way, hey, forget it. Get on with life. We're looking for the people who are alive, am I right? That's true. I'm African. I'm a white African. You understand? Yes. The first language I spoke with Khoza is very similar to Zulu. That's why I can talk in the belly. You understand? You see, I grew up with them. I had stick fights with them where when I'm a Quetta's going to go, I did everything with him. It clears up, but he's paired there, Yonkito, you understand? That's Mandela's language. And while I'm talking about that, while Mandela's name comes up, think of this, what I'm going to tell you now. You're going to go through challenges. You are going to have challenges. Nelson Mandela had many. He had many challenges. He had many tests. And after 27 years, he came out of that jail with caring, with love in his heart, with a feeling for people, and he made a difference in this world. Would you agree with me?
Yes. Yes.
Right? If all the politicians in Africa took his example, Africa would be a different place.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes.
And after one term of office, Mandela pulled out and he put somebody else in. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
He didn't want to stay there until he died and say stupid like that. He went out and did more good for people. That's why when he died, world leaders from all over the world came in, not just African leaders. That's how well he was respected. So when you go through a challenge, don't worry about it. It depends what you're made of.
Yes.
Life will either grind you or it will polish you. If you're made of good stuff, it's going to polish you. It's going to make you firmer. It's going to make you harder. If you have a flat wheel or if you have an accident, that's minor. You're just going to get on and get on with life again. Don't talk about the flat wheel forever. Now, when I start people, I always like to start them with a big 100 PV kit. Because then they got products. If they can't start with that, if I see that, I might come down to the Super 10 kit or the Pro Vitality Plus kit or one of those. But let me tell you a story. When they start with a big kit, I'm going to get into their house to come and launch their business. And I say, look, why don't you invite one or two of your friends or neighbors in and I'm going to demonstrate the products. Guess what I'm doing? Right there in their house, we're going to find them some customers. And that's how I like to get into the house. And that new person has suddenly got either somebody interested in the business or they're going to buy the products. Immediately, they're excited. And then what I do with them, once they're on their own, I say, you know what, I want to help you with a list of names so I can help you invite your people. I try to protect people from negative people. Not everybody. 20% of the people will buy our products, but only 5% will really go to the top financially. That's a worldwide statistic, okay? Now, what I'll do, I'll get in the house. Once these other people are gone, I'll say, right, give me your 10 people off your cell phone, and I'll write the names down. How old are they? What do they do? I write it all down. Married, not married, right? Single parent, whatever it is. And then I ask him about every person on that list, 10 people. And then I choose maybe two that I think they got dreams. I'll ask him that. You understand? Are they hardworking? Are they positive? You understand? I'll ask him that, okay? And then I might invite two of them, my phone two. Now, I give him the phone first. I disguise my phone. You got a way to disguise my number. And I say, look, just tell him you've seen something very exciting, but you're brand new. You'd like him to talk to somebody who knows more. Then he gives me the phone. He's got to break the ice first. That's his friends, right? Then he gives me the phone. And I say, look, I'm speaking to Peter or Jack or whatever the guy's name is. And he says you're a dreamer and you want the better things in life. Is that correct? And he said, yes. I said, great, we've got something very exciting we'd like to show you. I obviously cannot get into it on the telephone. But we'd like to make an appointment with you and your wife, if they're married, to get together just for 20 minutes, maximum a half hour. I am not looking for investments. With that time, I'm only looking to see if they're positive. If they want to do something, you with me? So I always say, I'm not looking for investments. I'm just looking for people who are open to look, right? And then I make a firm appointment with them again to meet with them. Is that clear? That's how I help my new person. The quicker you help them get anchored, the better. Okay? And I always tell people, you know, you've gone through the steps with Abraham, did the steps yesterday. But I tell people, I said, you know, if you want to play a sport, you've got to be able to listen to the coach. Would you agree? Would you be coachable? If I guide you, if I tell you certain things, would you accept that, right? Would you be teachable, right? Not think I'm trying to sit on you, right? And then I tell them, stay away from negative people, even if they're family. When I got started, my parents and Alta's parents were both totally negative, right, about this business. Eventually, we took them overseas as well, but anyhow, a lot of people were negative, right? So what I did, I just stayed away from them. I was broke. We had nothing. I couldn't afford their company. We didn't even have a house. We had a rented house those days. So I want to encourage you, value advice. Broke people can only give you broke advice. If people are broke and they're negative, run away. Right? It might be hard initially, but one day They'd be pleased that you did build a business. My mother died at age 94. And we were able to, she was on the products later years, and we were able to hire two care workers to live in her place and take care of her, take her for walks in the daytime and do all the kind of things. You understand? And Alta's mother's now 95, and we've got the same thing. We've got a care worker living with her in her own place, takes her out for walks every day, and they have good community things in their little hall. But that's exciting. Now, they don't say, none of them ever said to us, I'm glad you didn't listen to us when we were negative. But excited that we can afford to help him today. You see, so don't worry about if people are negative. You just build it, and one day you'll be able to help him. Demo products, training, duplicate. This is a lot of basics I've given you. But tomorrow, let me tell you what's going to happen. We're taking you on a journey, right? Now we're going up the stairway to success. The last four steps are going to be tomorrow, right? I sincerely hope you don't miss them. Because a lot of people get four steps from the top and they slip all the way down. I'm going to share some important things you need to take from here on to crystallize your business and get it rolling. So I want to thank you. Get home, have a good rest. Let's get you early in the morning. And we're going to have a great time tomorrow. Bring any of your friends with, they'll enjoy it, right? And then we're going to teach a lot of practical things. And then we're going to say amen at the end of the teaching. We will be over and out here by 10:30. But we need to start at 7:30. Okay? You've been a great group. I want to congratulate you in Zambia. Really, I do. You know, I've been to a lot of functions. I've been a lot. I'm going to Uganda and Tanzania now in a week's time. But I want to tell you something. You've been here all the time. You've come. You've brought people. And you need to congratulate yourself. You're serious about it. Give me a hand. I was on a plane with an American. I said, man, the Zambian people are different. They're positive. They go ahead. Okay? And I really mean that. Okay? It's not just talking nice. I travel around Africa, right? And the Ghanaians are great, right? I can't say anything else about anyone else in West Africa. You understand? And then in Tanzania, fine. They're good. Ugandans are really very good again. You understand? But you guys, in my opinion, top the list. Right? Yeah. So thank you very much. And God bless you. Have a good night.